Nicolette Thomas, and this is Watching with Friends, a podcast where I am joined each week by a friend and we discuss a show or a movie that we have watched and discuss our thoughts on it. Today, I am joined by Sarah, and we are discussing the 2008 Disney Channel original movie, Minutemen. It's the first day of high school, and Derek, Virgil, and Stephanie are all walking in, talking about how they can't wait for the next 4 years. Derek is trying out for the football team, Stephanie with the cheerleaders, and Virgil is just happy to be hanging around. The football tryouts get interrupted by a young man on a super-powered golf cart. This is Charlie, the school's super genius. Charlie gets stopped by the football team and thus starts getting bullied. Virgil does try to stand up for him, but ends up in the exact same position. And together, Charlie and Virgil end up being their victims. The football team has dressed them up as cheerleaders and strung them up by their underwear on the school mascot statue up at the front of the building. Fast forward a few years, and Charlie and Virgil are at the bottom of the social totem pole. Derek and Stephanie are at the top. On one of these school days, Charlie tells Virgil that he has created time travel. To get a club put together, they need more than two members, so they look for someone to join them. This happens to be Zeke, the tall, silent, scary person at school. With a club in place, the three end up building a time travel machine in an old Cold War bunker in the basement of the building. They originally travel back in order to see if this really works, thus using the lottery numbers from the day before. Deciding that they can't change time too much by giving wealth to themselves, they decide to use this new power to help others like them avoid bullying situations that they themselves have been a part of. They call themselves the Minutemen, but the school knows them as the Snowsuit Guys, including the administration, who would love nothing more than to capture these hoodlums. The three end up saving Stephanie, who had fallen off of the top of the pyramid, thus injuring her leg. She confronts Virgil, letting him know that she thinks she knows what's going on, and he confirms. She then asks him to help Derek, who is also going through some situations. Virgil sees this as a way for him to get back to where he thought he should have been, having originally been friends with the two in the beginning. Virgil's actions cause Zeke and Charlie to wonder if they are even still friends. Charlie eventually admits that they are being watched because Charlie had stolen from NASA some time travel that they had left behind back in the 1960s. The FBI has been watching them, and a black hole has been opening underneath the school's football field. The black hole caused because of the energy that the boys are using as they go back and forth in time. This time, aided by the FBI and NASA, the boys go back in time again, leading them to the day on the football field that changed everything. This, we find, is Virgil's worst moment, and he is ready to change everything. But Charlie, it was his best day. It was the day he got his best friend. The three fight, Charlie leaving with Zeke, leaving Virgil to make a decision. Being alone on the football field, watching everything happen, he realizes that Derek was never actually really his friend and had actually convinced the team to put them in the cheerleading uniforms and didn't stop anything. The three boys travel back. This time, they end up right where they need to, the day that they started time traveling. Virgil makes a different decision and talks to Stephanie in the library. Zeke actually talks to the people who he had become friends with, and thus making him less of a quiet and deadly fiend. And Charlie realizes that there is more to life than just science. Charlie does mention that he has some ideas about teleportation, which could lead into a sequel that unfortunately never happened. But it's a great way to end the movie. After this quick break, we'll be back with Sarah to discuss our thoughts on the movie. All right, so Minutemen. I had never seen this movie.
You haven't?
No, I had never seen it before this.
It was cute, I thought.
No, it was. I actually really enjoyed it.
With Jason Dolly and who else was in it?
So the little one ends up growing up to be the love interest from Dumplin'.
Oh.
I was looking at him and I'm like, I know that face.
Yeah.
I know that face. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, no. And he was in some other Disney Channel original stuff. But I know
Jason
him.
Jason Dolly, I think. And I think the like older one, like Jason Dolly, he was in Cory in the House, Read It and Weep, Hatching Pete. He was like a big, he was in Good Luck Charlie. I think he was a brother in Good Luck Charlie, no?
I don't know. I never watched Good Luck Charlie.
I used to watch it all the time.
But and then, of course, another appearance of our good friend. God, he's like 6'7" or some shit like that. He's so tall. Why can't I think of his name? I'm not looking at anything. I literally just got home. But yeah, I mean, for that main cast, they all were kind of Disney Channel or Disney mainstays.
Yeah, for a very long time. Like, they were in everything.
And then
I'm trying to see.
Oh gosh, what's her name? I know her from Jonas.
Nick Braun is the tall guy, I think.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And then the girl from Jonas.
Oh, I can't think of her name.
Yeah, I'm so bad with names, but I can just remember what I saw them. And then the little brother from Vampire Diaries.
Oh, that's right.
And I was just like, why do I know his face? And then it clicked, and I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. All right. So all of these young actors went on to do some really great stuff. They definitely had careers post-Disney Channel.
Well, and were you with us when we were going to Six Flags that one time? Or was it?
Yes. And we've talked about that before.
He was like at the same gas rest stop as we were in high school. We're like, oh my God, you can't miss him. He's like 18 feet tall. And we're like, what?
I'm 5'4". He's like a full foot and a half taller than me.
Yeah, I'm 5'5", and I'm 5'5", so yeah. Well, I just remember that day. Like, that's one of those days where it's like you remember for like ever, and you're like, oh my God, it's him.
All right, but let's get into Minutemen, because mm-hmm. I have a lot of things, because first time watching, I really found myself liking this.
It was cute. Even like rewatching it, it was I always thought it was cute. But yeah, since you watched it for the first time, what did you think?
So I got nervous at the very beginning when it kind of got into that science-y thing. I was like, oh gosh, the way they introduced mm-hmm. things, it was like, oh gosh, is this Genius 2.0? And that was my worry. And I'm so glad that it wasn't, because it could have easily gone down that route. Mm-hmm. And it didn't.
And we know how it went with Genius. Oof. So.
But I just, yeah, like it could have gone so wrong, and they did mm-hmm. enough right that this movie never really lost its heart. It never really went too off the deep end, considering it's about time travel.
Right, which is in itself is already like a really hard topic for even younger kids to grasp. So like it was pretty bold that they did it. That's what I think anyway. Like time travel, yeah, you can, it's kind of like, oh, it's an option. No, it might be possible, but also like as a kid, when did this come out? Because I have it up because I was looking up that tall kid. I got it right here. 2008. Oh my God, it came out. We were 18 when this came out. Oh my mm-hmm. God. I mean, for younger kids at that time, it was hard to fathom time travel, because it was like, at least I thought, but like as an 18-year-old, it's a little bit different, because you're like, oh yeah, okay, like possibility.
Like, this is another one where it dealt with older teenagers,
mm-hmm.
but it was done in a way that the younger kids could enjoy it.
Yeah, it wasn't like too heavy with detail and too like out of the box where like only older kids could understand it. They made it like where everyone, it's all on the same.
Yeah, like page. I don't know. Like, it just felt much more thought through. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that at this time, as we've been looking at the movies that came out in the late 2000s, early 2010s, that it was either hit or miss. Like, they either got it so right, like they did with Jump In, or they got it so wrong, like they did with Princess Protection Program, that mm-hmm. it just became forgettable, that I just,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't feel like there is as many hands in the pot with this one, so they were able to keep it tight.
Yeah, I definitely, like, I agree with that. Like, the storyline and the way they presented the storyline throughout the movie was very, like, solid. You could tell that, like you said, there wasn't a lot of hands in the pots. It seemed like very few people were making the decisions as to how this movie was going to be done, because it was very tight, very, you know, it didn't jump around. It was very on its game.
For a movie about time travel, it didn't jump around.
But yeah, it was like, compared to some of the other movies that we've watched thus far, I felt that the storyline was really, really strong, and the way they presented, like you said, they presented a really like heavy content storyline, but they made it so like younger viewers could understand it and enjoy it, and not just making it so it like goes over everybody's heads.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that girl you're thinking of was in Chelsea Stubbs. She was in Jonas. She was in Baby Daddy.
Yes.
Yeah. Or Chelsea Kane, I guess.
Because she did change her name after she left Disney Channel.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I really felt like this movie setup wise was like really good for a $5 million budget too. They did such a good job. Sorry,
that's actually a lot in comparison to.
Well, it is for a Disney movie. It's a lot, but also some of the other Disney movies we've seen, some of them were a little bit more pricey and not as good, and some were a little less pricey and way better. So it was like all up in the air.
Yeah.
But
so let's kind of get into it, because I love the fact that this young genius kid is trying to just build a better vehicle, like a transportation with an insane engine, and it all goes to crap.
Yep.
And
but I feel like,
oh, go ahead.
I feel like too that I said, I feel like too, that's just how it was. Like, it always ends up with time travel. Like, even looking back to the futures, like it, oh, the DeLorean always had issues with time traveling and in general. I feel like that's like a basis for all time travel movies, is like whatever you travel in is going to have an issue somewhere.
And then we have, oh my God, I can't, is his first name our main character? He had such an interesting Virgil, yes. So I was like, oh, he has such an interesting name.
Yeah.
Virgil actually.
Like a young kid having the name Ralph.
Well, and so Virgil stands up for Charlie and ends up stuck on the school statue, hence starting their friendship.
Yep.
And then we fast forward to senior year for them, and everything kind of hinged on that moment for Virgil. And he always thinks about that, which to this day, I mean, it's a human thing. It's a human response to anything. You can think of like one moment where if you could go back in time and change it, you would.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I think that's
even. Oh, no, I was just agreeing with you. It was just, that's one of those things, like, and if you don't, I feel like you're just lying to yourself.
Exactly.
Like, you know, people are like, oh, I wouldn't change anything. I just feel like those people are lying to themselves, because there's always something you can change or you want to change.
Right. And it's one of those things where, and that's kind of the heart of this movie, where he is given that chance to go back and turn back time, and he is able to change that one moment. And I'm jumping ahead, but it's not until Charlie says, like, your worst moment was my best moment.
And also, a lot of storylines that are discussed within the whole time traveling movies is like, what is like, if you go back and change the future, it's almost like a ripple effect. Like, if you go back and change one thing in the future from the past, it changes your whole future. So like, even if Virgil changed it from, you know, like we said, Virgil stuck up for Charlie, he ended up on the flagpole. So if he went back and he was trying to change that day, he doesn't know, like, you know, him and Charlie might not have ever been friends, and, you know, all these different things could have happened because that Virgil didn't do that one thing at that point in time. It's always such like a, yeah, you want to change it, but how's it going to affect you in the long run?
Exactly. Type of thing. But we got to fast forward, or we got to go back into the movie. And we see that Virgil is like king of the dorks. He sits at the dorky table, the whole shebang, which I see nothing wrong with. I was a dork. But
yep. Same.
So Charlie ends up creating time travel. And they need help to build it. So they get in, and I forget his character's name. I just know he was my favorite because he was just like that quiet, like intimidating guy.
Was it Zeke?
Yes.
Zeke. The mechanic one?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the three of them build the actual time machine, and they build it in a bunker under the football field. Again, one of those things where it's like, oh God, it's going to be just like Genius. Instead of the ice rink, it's a football field. Like, there was just a lot of similarities. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, which I thought was, like, the funniest / coolest part of this whole thing was, like, they made it. Who would think that there's a bunker under your high school football field? Like that would just be, like, if that were a thing, like, I would totally make a time-traveling thing in that place.
Exactly. And that's why Charlie picks it. But, so they build it. And my favorite thing, Zeke is always like my grappling hook. And it's this running joke. And I'm like, what is going on with this grappling hook? So anyway, they start deciding that they are going to go back and change things for the dorks. And they are going to stop things from embarrassing them. Done by the popular people. And it changes the entire dynamic of the school. And it's the one thing. The vice principal of this school annoys the heck out of me. Because it's his entire thing is, I'm not, like, you're changing the entire social hierarchy. I can't stand for that. And I'm just like, you're literally going to a vending machine where a child is stuck in there. And you're not helping.
Yeah.
Like, considering it's one of the only adults we see on film, it just really irks me because, God forbid, that, like, was my child, I would raise all hell. Like, so it just...
Well, that brings me back. I was watching a show. I was binging a show the other day where one of the little girls who came back, who comes in the last season, is picked on, and the adults in this dynamic go. One of the adults goes to, like, stand up for her because he's her intern. She's his intern, so he goes and stands up for her. And he was a dork when he was little, and all that. And so, like, that was the same reaction the principal had, was like, oh, well, you know, it's okay. I'm not going to say anything. It's like, no, but, like, you should say something. That's how bullies become bullies. Like, nobody does anything about it.
Exactly. And it's one of those things where an adult not stepping in is its own form of bullying.
Yeah.
And the fact that this was in a Disney Channel original movie that are literally all about accepting yourself and, like, standing up for yourself and really that protection of self and, like, goodness. The fact that they are putting that in something that is supposed to teach these lessons.
Yeah.
Really just rubbed me the wrong way. And it's honestly one of the only gripes I have of this film is the fact that the adults in this are awful.
Yeah, they're not good people.
But so they start going back, and all of their friends are now becoming these popular people and are really letting it get to their heads. So I love we see that aspect of it, because those are the consequences of those actions.
Yeah, it's, you know. That's what happens. They, well, that goes back to the whole ripple effect, you know?
Yep.
You change something, one thing in the past, you're gonna, you know, mess up or change, I should say. I shouldn't really say mess up. For some people, it's mess up. Others, it's not. You know, you mess with the future, and then you have to go to this thing where it's like, do you want to mess with the future?
Right.
As opposed to just sticking with, it's a huge lesson in itself.
Yep. So more hijinks ensue. We find out Virgil has a crush on the girl who he used to be friends with. And it's the whole love triangle thing really kind of annoyed me. And then this really? Is another part. Well, yeah. I just, because
I think we didn't, I can see that. Yeah.
Well, because we didn't see more of how that friendship dynamic was prior to the breaking of that trio.
Mm-hmm.
Had we seen more of it, I might have felt differently, but we only see it for all of what, 2 minutes?
Yeah, something like that.
So I didn't really care about that part of it. But, oh God, I lost my train of thought.
we were talking about the triangle.
Yes.
Triangle.
So then this is another thing. I thought it was a little too adult for a Disney Channel movie where we have characters openly cheating on their significant others.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that part.
I swear, I'm just like, really, Disney? Really? You're like,
good.
For, considering that you won't even let two gay characters hold hands on a TV show,
mm-hmm.
yet you have a movie where they are openly flirting and there's talk of actual cheating. It just,
right?
Oh my God.
It's crazy.
So I don't know. Like, that was another thing that bugged me about this one. But so they go back, they change a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can't anymore.
They can't what? Change things anymore?
Yeah, they can't do any more time travel because it's opened a black hole. And the government is involved. And like that part was a little far-fetched for me. But considering it was much more realistic to what Genius was, mm-hmm. I did enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, too, I wish they kind of, you know, you can't get to the point where it's like everybody eventually ends up having, you know, the, what was I going to say? I totally lost my train of thought. You get to a point where it's like you don't want, you know, the government's going to end up taking over just because that's how the government is, and heaven forbid somebody has to power to change things besides the government, but like also kids shouldn't have that much power,
right? But so I forgot to mention one of my favorite things is the fact that the entire time we know that there's this girl who has a crush on Charlie and he just wants nothing to do with it. He doesn't know how to act in that type of situation. And she literally became my favorite character in this movie.
Yeah.
Because she's just happy to be there. So she is their girl in the chair. So that way, like,
mm-hmm.
you can control things and bring them back when she needs to and all that kind of jazz. And yeah. I really liked that. Like, even if he wasn't giving her the romantic attention that she wanted. Like, she was just happy to be there and be a part of it.
True. Yeah. which I like too, because also, like, it's also that thing where it's like, you have that one person who's just like on the outskirts, but always has the hand in everything, where they're in charge of doing everything. But yeah, no, I like the, what was her name? I couldn't think of her name.
But yeah, I liked her, and I liked the fact that she finally makes the move, because Charlie has grown to appreciate her presence. And like, when they're mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, everything is collapsing around us, you need to get out of here. Like, I just like, oh, okay. And then she kisses him and it changes everything. Like, he's like, oh, oh,
oh,
like, oh, this is what you've been hinting at. Okay. Yeah. And so then they jump in and they try to save the world. Which brings us back to, it brings us back to that initial moment where everything changed for Virgil. And so we have that fight between Virgil and Charlie about it. And it just broke my heart. Like, it was acted so well for kids.
It made it,
especially,
it made you hurt. Like, it still hurt. Like, I could feel the pain that they were going through when they were arguing about it. I'm just like, oh wow, this, like,
because
this hurts me.
You can see both sides of it, because there are moments back in my youth where I'm just like, oh, had I made a different decision, what would my life have been like?
Yeah, exactly.
And then I think about the choice I did make and what it brought me to. And I see Charlie's side of it too. Like, mm-hmm. and so you really feel for Virgil in that moment, because you can understand the push and pull that's going on in him. And I think Jason Dolley did an amazing job of portraying that.
Yeah. I think so too. And also too, it goes back to, you know, you never know what you have until it's gone. But also, when things come to light, it's just like, they've been doing this, or they've been changing the past, and it gets to a point where you get, like you said, you know, you start arguing with each other and you see it from both people's point of view. But like I've had that same conundrum too, where like, if I had chosen, like, I think about it a lot too sometimes, like, if I had chosen a different path, where would I be now? But on the other hand, seeing where I've come, how far I've come and what I've gone through and all that stuff, it's like, would I have wanted to make another decision? It's like that struggle, like, okay, I've worked so hard to get to where I am. Would I want to change that and do, you know, and not be where I am now? And maybe if I had taken a different path, I would have been somewhere else. But on the flip side of it, what if the path I took was not, didn't end up to be as good as I thought it was?
Yeah.
So. But yeah, no, they did. And I like, that's what I like about Jason Dolley too, him being in all these shows, is like, he is such a good actor in these movies that like, you can feel the passion he has.
He also has those big blues that just craft. Let you see everything.
Oh, you melt into those big blues.
But yeah. And then of course, because he waits around a little longer, he sees that, in fact, his friend really wasn't his friend back in the day, and actually egged it on and resulted in what brought him to that very moment back in the past.
Yeah.
So then we have Zeke and Charlie trying to get back to the little portal so that they can get back to their own time. and they're not going to make it. And they're freaking out. And then here comes Virgil on the little cart that started everything to save the day. And this is where the grappling hook comes back in, because they make a wrong turn and Zeke uses his grappling hook that he's brought up and they make fun of the entire time. And it's just a great little running gag. It's the best little running gag. And they're able to...
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I love that grappling hook thing, because then you're just like, you're sitting there and you're like, yes, finally. Make fun of him now. Look at where, look at, he's got something.
But they get back to the portal and it brings them not to where they left, but to a scene earlier where Sam... That's her name. I remembered her name. Ha ha ha.
Sam. Yes.
Sam and her jock boyfriend are arguing in the library, which Virgil had previously seen. And so Virgil says something to the jock, and then Sam happens to come out and see him. And they talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cute and all. And Zeke is like, no, like, Charlie, don't interrupt this. Like, let's go, little guy. And Charlie kisses that girl. Totally forgetting that they are still somewhere in the past. And that had never happened. So she's like freaking out. Like, she's trying to play it cool, but she's freaking out. And it's just the cutest thing with like Zeke holding him and like, no, okay, dude, we gotta go this way. Which I just thought was adorable. And yeah, that's pretty much it. That is Minutemen.
In a nutshell. Yeah, no, that really is. I love that movie. And that was one of the movies that like, even as, cause came 2008, we were 18. Think about that every day. I actually did enjoy that movie even as an 18-year-old watching it. Cause let's be real, I was watching Disney Channel when I was old. I still sometimes watch Disney Channel. But it was still such a good movie even back then.
Yeah, it's like...
I was just going to say that like it kind of plays into both the older crowd but also the younger crowd, where like they had a diverse age in actors. So like you had the young guys and the older guys. And I think a lot of it was too, they were seniors in high school. We were seniors in high school. So like it kind of meshed well. But yeah, no, I think this was from what we've seen so far, besides like Halloween Town, this is one of the movies that actually really plays into both the older crowd and the younger crowd without there being like a weird like lapse where like, sometimes it's not funny, sometimes it is. It's just, they did such a good job with this movie.
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far to say as it's in my top 10 or anything, but it's definitely better than a lot of the others that we've seen so far. And like I said, I can't help but compare it to Genius because they both deal with science. And it's just a completely different outcome. One was just completely ridiculous. And like, it was a much more grounded science. But it just got into a completely crazy point. Whereas this, is completely crazy science, but it was so realistic and it was just much more grounded in what it was trying to get across in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's really where I stand with it.
Yeah, like I said, it's probably not going to be my top 10, but it might be like top 5, I should say. Sorry. But it's definitely up there. It's definitely a solid number.
Yeah, like I would tell people, if you're looking for something sciency and fun,
mm-hmm.
here's a movie for you.
I totally recommend this. Yeah.
All right. So, what are you going to rate this out of 10?
I think I'm going to put it up at, I'll put it up at 5.
Really? I was going to say a 7.
Really?
Yeah, because middle of the road is where I put like Princess Protection Program and things like that, where I'm just like, they're fine, they're good background noise, but I'm not going to fully pay attention to it. This, I'd actually pay attention to.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, well, because I was on the edge of like 5 and 6, so I actually am going to change that. I think I'll do more 6 because, you know, it is a strong contender. Yeah, so I'll say 6.
All right. Hey, all right, that was such a fun conversation about Minutemen. It has become one of my newer favorites. Thank you again so much to Sarah for joining. So for the next episode, we are going to be discussing 2009's Dadnapped. It's been a while since I've seen this one, so I'm excited to revisit. If you want to get in contact with us, you can find us on Instagram. You can also find us, you can email us at watchingwfriendspod@gmail.com. Please feel free to let us know your thoughts. We'd be happy to share them on the show as well. And we will see you guys next week. We're back on a regular schedule. So we'll be back next week with Dadnapped. And I hope you guys have a great week. We'll see you next time. Bye. Hey, no, no, no.